Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's right. It's us again. We're back. Back for another round. Apathetic Enthusiasm. You know, the intros that we do, honey, they get so much better.
It's full of energy every time.
They get more and more full of energy. It's like a, what is that, that one cartoon where Ren there's a Stimpy. Spirit bomb and
spirit bomb.
Kamehameha.
Ryu.
Yeah.
Street Fighter.
Ryu Street Fighter Z.
Kamehameha was the name of one of the major streets in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Kamehameha. Right.
Street Fighter Ball
Kamehameha.
Z.
Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was Dragon Ball Z?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Never seen it.
Never seen it, huh?
Never seen
it. Oh, we should watch it.
I feel like I get the gist.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the gist?
There's balls involved, and they probably throw them at each other with some kind of warrior cry, such as, come here, come here, come here. Get over here.
They're not saying Kamehameha. They're saying, come here, come here, come here. Well, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, everyone.
Hi, guys.
I am Brandon.
I'm Chelsea.
And we're here to bring you a fun-filled episode full of fun and filled.
It's so subjective, but yes,
it's gonna
that's
be
the goal.
it's gonna be great. Before we get started, of course, there is the obligatory housekeeping.
Plug it up.
That we have to do. First, an announcement. Travis and I are gonna shut down the X account because fuck X, right? You know, it's like we're good with Triple X, the movie with
and Jason X. We talked about
Jason X. Yeah, we're good with X's in general. We're good with that movie X, right? With what's that one chick? Mia Goth.
Mm, good job. You did all that work on your own. I didn't help at all.
No, I was looking at you and you're like, I could see the thinking.
I was
like,
thinking.
She was about to say Mia Goth.
Farrell. No.
Mia Farrell.
Yes. X. You don't want to send your heart out to all.
Yeah.
I can't even do it without feeling. I had to still Celine Dion it. I had to do the Celine Dion.
You still had to do like.
Yeah, I was like, it feels too gross to make a Nazi salute.
Even in jest, it hurts. Yeah, so no more X. So you can go to Apathusiast. It'll be there for some time, but we're not going to respond to that. Instead, go to Blue Sky. I figured out how to use Buffer to get social media to post there instead.
I don't know what you're saying, but it sounds really clever.
Facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm, YouTube.com.
We're still good with Facebook and Meta. It's not Facebook anymore. It's
barely. Facebook and Instagram, like barely.
We're hanging on.
And posts, I think. Yeah, because
it's hard to let go of. People are already so invested in those platforms that it's hard to switch and start a whole new thing.
Yeah. But in one way too, if we get rid of those things, then I don't have to worry about the housekeeping and it really reduces the
amount. And if I was able to change my email from AIM account just in the last 10 years, then people can switch from X to
AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm. You know, if you want to support us monetarily, that is one way to do it. We appreciate you.
I'm a pretty expensive co-host.
It's true. You think that lipstick grows on trees? It grows off the fat of whales.
It gets tested on the most expensive animals. We take endangered species to test my lipstick first to make sure it won't give me a rash.
You know, back in like the 90s when people would like throw paint on mink stoles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, what a lot of people don't know is they're actually testing makeup products. It was actually lipstick they were testing on mink stoles. That's not a bad idea.
Let's recycle. Let's upcycle all those fur coats that are now problematic, and we'll put lipstick on.
Let's teach those rich assholes a lesson by testing our makeup on their...
Eat the rich. We can say that because we're not rich.
That's so right.
We'll change our minds. You spend enough money to Patreon. We're like, we're all for the rich people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once we go into a new tax bracket, then we're all for rich. Tax us less. Well, Chelsea, how are you doing? How have you been?
Pretty good. I'm still working off a sweat from the spicy rice bowl I had for dinner from one of our favorite restaurants right now that serves delicious ramen and rice bowls. And it was spicy.
You know, we don't talk about food enough on this show lately.
I agree.
When was the first time, like, you...
Ate food?
No. Yeah. It's from your mother's breast, right?
Like, I imagine. I wasn't... I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I don't remember eating that from your mom either.
She'll remind you.
Yeah, my mom. Yeah, my nickname was Brandon Boobers. I wonder why when I was a baby.
One of the Fraggles in Fraggle Rock was named Boober.
It was Goober.
No.
It wasn't.
Pretty sure it's Boober.
I don't think it was Boober.
All right. Agree to disagree.
Okay. I agree.
I can't look it up right now. That's bad co-hosting.
Well, I'll talk and you look it up.
Keep going.
So Fraggle Rock, I watched Fraggle Rock as a kid. Anyways, what I was going to ask was, other than instant ramen, when was the first time that
it's Boober?
It is Boober? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. Oh. Agree to disagree.
That's what Wikipedia said.
The first time you ever ate like ramen.
Proper
fancy ramen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you remember? And do you remember how it changed your life?
I don't know. I don't.
What's the first time? When's the first time you do remember eating it?
I have a terrible memory. Well, and I'll just tell you right now. And I just found out, and this is going to be the only thing I do remember, that if you have ADHD or depression or I can't remember the other thing. there are other things that cause like... actually affects your memory. And so I'm just going to claim that from now on.
Okay. Well, you remember eating ramen at some point in your life.
Yeah, tonight.
Okay.
No, I didn't eat
ramen. No, you're right. You didn't. Tell me about that experience.
It's so delicious. I love Asian food so much. Okay. So here, I guess, is what happened. So you went to Korea for a year in some number of year, 2013.
Yeah.
And because you're in Korea and I was not, I thought, I'm going to try some Korean food while he's over there, and that will help me feel closer to him. And so I did, and it was delicious. And so I think that's when I started really getting into like real Asian food that wasn't Panda Express, which I still do love. I'll eat lots of different foods.
Yeah, you will.
But like then to have
an authentic
ramen meal is, or like we went to a place not too long ago that was in Northridge that had Korean food, and we had bibimbap.
Ooh, in a stone bowl.
And I guess also we started hearing a lot about bibimbap when we were watching Iron Chef. I feel like Alton Brown talked about it a lot for some reason.
Hmm. Yeah, a la cuisine is what the guy who looks like Sean Park said.
Yes.
Do you remember the guy's name? What's that guy's name?
I can look that up also.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Even though you want to now.
Oh, I do.
You can't.
Mark?
Deschanel. Oh, that's close.
Descanso. Oh, now I have to look it up because I feel like I'm very close.
Mark Descanso Gardens in La Cañada. Head there. It's a really beautiful garden. Yeah, I honestly don't have ADHD, but I don't remember the first time I had fancy ramen either.
Mark DeCoscos.
It's Costco's.
I was so close.
Yeah, that's right. You can buy them in bulk.
Das Costco's. That's what they have in Germany.
I like ramen in general, but I remember it might have been in Korea that like I had
official
ramen. And then in Hawaii, we had Simon.
But that was after Korea.
But, you know, very, very similar. And pho is great as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this place that we ate recently, like, I don't know, in the last year, it popped up. And there hadn't been any ramen places around here.
No, so. There's a lot of Mexican food around here and a lot of Mediterranean food and a lot of Chinese food. But yeah, there wasn't a good ramen spot.
Yeah. And so now that's our go-to spot. We rotate between ramen, Korean barbecue, sushi, and all the Mexican food.
And every once in a while, I'm like, CPK, you guys, let's spice it up with some CPK.
I had CPK.
Who wants a good salad?
I had CPK in Korea. It wasn't very good. It didn't taste anything like California.
Well, they don't know.
No. It was like a
probably port. They come here and like, this is not what ramen really tastes like.
Yeah. This isn't ramen. This is ravioli. enough about food. I didn't watch this movie yet, but I want to talk to you about this movie. It's one of the films that you have to watch for your class.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Neptune. Like we talked about it a little bit last time, Neptune Flash or
Frost. Neptune Frost.
Frost.
Spoilers, I found out that Frost is the name of the bird that's in it. Neptune is the name of one of the main characters, but then they name the bird Frost. Has nothing. The bird is in it for like 3 minutes. Has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Weird. Okay.
It was a very crazy movie. I'm trying to think of a word that doesn't make me sound like a jerk, but it was all over the place, in my opinion. I was having trouble keeping track.
So what, where was this movie made? Because it's an international film.
You
class.
Didn't have me, I could have researched this ahead of time.
I know.
And have all the information for you.
I'm basically quizzing you on your class right now. Okay. We don't have to talk about that, but what's the plot of that movie?
Ooh.
It sounds, it's like convoluted.
It is.
Like,
there are these two different people. One is named Neptune and one is named Matalusa. And they start different places, but they go on their own journeys and they end up in the same place in this kind of commune of hackers. But it's very dystopian future situation. Everybody's got like wires in their hair. And then one of them figures out how to hack into like the whole computer. But I think he just does it with his brain. I don't know. I couldn't follow. it was crazy. And then one of the characters, Neptune, is played by two separate actors, depending on which part of their life they're in. So, and then there's cobalt mining or. So where do they mine cobalt? It was in a third world country. It was there.
I don't know.
And then
America.
This didn't take place in America.
You said dystopian.
Although Lin-Manuel Miranda did do, I guess, most, if not all, of the music for it. And then it was co-produced by Ezra Miller.
Oh, so it could have been Neptune Flash. Could you tell it was Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Not until the second half. In my opinion, the first half is really avant-garde and bizarre and abstract. And then the second half, or like third, felt more like an American movie because I could understand it. It felt more straightforward, and we're telling you the story now, and we're singing the songs, and the songs are telling you what is happening in the story instead of me just watching this dream world where I'm like, what's happening? Is that Neptune? I don't know. Because they don't even say anybody's name for like 30 minutes into the movie. So I'm just trying to guess who these people are. It was crazy.
So I have to ask the question. I think I've asked you before, but I'll ask you for the podcast's sake. Which half did you like more? I think you probably.
Well, because I'm not smart enough to get the fun first pretentious half, I liked the half I could understand better.
You liked the half that they walked you through.
Yes.
They handheld you.
Yes.
Through.
Ugh. But then I think at the end a drone comes and maybe blows up the commune. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it again.
If you, okay. So like, was it good overall, or are you like,
it was interesting. Yeah. I was trying to just appreciate it for the parts that are involved in making a movie. There, you know, all the cinematography and editing and writing. And there were a couple of the songs that, even though I could tell they were Lin-Manuel Miranda, and so I'm inclined to not like them as much. I tried to make myself shut that part off so that I could be like, these are good lyrics. That's okay. One of the lyrics is,
did you
fuck
think
it, you, Mr. Google.
Did you think they were good lyrics, or are you trying to convince yourself that
I know good lyrics? I'm not sure, but I liked it because it did rhyme. And It did tell me the story, what was happening at that point, because
hey, fuck you, Mr. Google.
That
don't you
part
tell
didn't
me,
rhyme. That was
don't a, you tell me how to Google. That was like, a, all right.
That was the hook. It didn't rhyme with
that's
anything.
A good, that's a good jam. Yo, this is my jam. Don't you tell me not to jam.
That's right. Like very that, those, Miranda-ish.
Those types of things. That was.
Next movie is Casablanca.
Okay.
I think that one will be a lot easier. More, I won't have to like really pay attention. And it was very, this movie, this Neptune Frost, was very heavily philosophical. And so I'm trying to read all these really nuanced subtitles and like, what? Wait, what? What does that mean? And then it was gone. So I just, it was a tricky one.
What was the moral of that movie?
I think it was that tech is going to bite us in the ass in the end.
Mm. So be sure to follow us on Blue Sky.
And it was also about racism and sexism and bigotry, you know, because one of the main characters is an intersex person, but that's different than, that's a different term than I yeah. don't know.
There's like some movies that they have so many messages that they want to tell that it kind of waters yeah. down all of the messages. Was this like that, or was it, did everything tie into each other enough, well enough that
it, I think it all did. I think there, it didn't seem like there were three or four different stories going on. It just seemed like it was all one story that I was having trouble understanding for a little while because it was artsy.
Artsy, artsy, fartsy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look forward to watching it with you someday and also not understanding what's going
I'll
on.
I'll take
with
a
it.
Gummy next time, and then I'll just be like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh my God. This is so funny.
This is so funny.
Dystopia.
I love when they kill that guy in the mine right at the beginning.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of hard hitting beginnings, you know, one of my comfort watches is The Changeling with George C. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're only ever awake for the beginning, and that's the hardest part to watch.
It's true. It's such a good, that is such a good movie. But at the beginning, spoiler for the beginning of the movie, The Changeling, with George C. Scott, his wife and daughter get crushed by a truck.
Yeah, very, very jarringly.
Yeah, yeah. And the rest of the movie is him coping with that, and also a haunted house. But it's like it's such a good movie. It's just a hard hitting thing was what triggered that. That's all about The Changeling.
But for a fun movie, we decided to show Dexter Game Night the other night.
Oh yes,
and I had forgotten everything about that movie.
Glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Other than like two scenes from it, so I was like, I love this movie based on these two scenes. And then I watched it, and I didn't remember how much I had forgotten that there were parts where I was like, that happened. It was like I had never seen it, so it was super fun.
Yeah,
that's such a good movie.
It's such a good movie, and
it's even better than I remembered it.
I agree. I don't agree. It is as good as I remember it.
And Rachel McAdams reminds me so much of our lovely Sheena.
That's right,
Mrs. Travis.
Shout out to Mrs. Travis. yeah, Game Night. Yeah, we watched it. Well, so we started. We wanted to watch with Dexter, just a comedy, right? We wanted to have a comedy movie night with him. And so you were like, what about Scary Movie? Is that appropriate for him? And I didn't remember enough about Scary Movie to know how every 10 seconds is a sex joke.
I knew there was a big ejaculation scene in it.
That's yeah, like that's towards the end, right?
And then I had to think, like, Dexter's 13. Does he know? Am I going to have to pause this movie? Is he old enough for this? I don't know.
And so we sort of like, yeah, let's. Yeah, he's old enough. It was just a miss after miss joke-wise.
It's very homophobic and got a lot of racist jokes in there, like against the mentally handicapped people, stuff like that. And he doesn't think that's funny at all. Yeah. I don't know. I can see why you don't think this is funny. And then he's like, and it's not even scary or funny.
Yeah. And every couple of seconds, when there's another sex joke, you'd be like, oh, this
sure is a scary movie.
Like, okay, let's watch.
So jaded.
Let's watch a different movie. He's like, no, I want to watch a scary movie, Dad.
Little
shithead. Anyway, so we switched it up.
He liked Game Night a lot.
He did. And we wanted to watch Game Night originally, and then we found out that we had to rent it, and we're like, ugh.
We pay for Hulu, and we had to rent it because it's like part of Hulu Live plus Skibbity Brophy Brothers, whatever subscription that you have to have now, the 17 different tiers that there are. And I'm like, no, I should be grandfathered in.
It's annoying as hell. In like the smartest guys talked to Blumhouse about Jason Blum about like all that streaming stuff. But that's another conversation about podcasts. Yeah, so we watched Game Night, and Game Night is so fun. I really like I don't know what the editing technique is, but I know how they do it. Where it makes it look like it's like an actual picture, and they blur the edges to make it look like it's a game piece. Like,
oh yeah, that's what I read after that they were doing that, so it would look like a life game board. Yeah. And then I thought about that, like, oh yeah, it does. But yeah, it gives everything else kind of a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood, like Fantasy Island. What's his place he has? Not Fantasy Island.
Island of Make-Believe Toys.
World of Imagination.
We didn't watch
Mr. Rogers enough. He has You Go to the Train. Anyway, ding, it all kind of looks ding, like ding. That, where it's like got the glossy screen, but then there's some hyper-realistic focus in the middle.
Hi, Mr. Rogers.
That's Pee-wee.
That's what all like their little puppets.
I know all his like puppet voices sound little, like an old lady.
His little like tiger.
He had a little tiger.
Hi, I'm Danny Tiger.
You're putting too much Pee-wee into it. I couldn't even do it. I can't get my voice that high. Anyway.
We
fun effects.
We enjoyed that. I would like to.
Let's watch it right now.
That'd be great to have a sequel to that movie.
It'd be tricky, but
it would be tricky. There's too many twists and turns, and Jesse Plemons steals the show in that. It. You know, on top of being married to Kirsten Dunst, you know,
good for him.
What a lucky man. This broke version of Matt Damon.
I was going to say, he's poor lucky guy. He always gets called like the ugly Matt Damon, though. Yeah. So I would say that he's maybe a better actor than Mr. Matt Damon, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's.
Ooh, it got quiet in here.
Damn, that's
sorry
tough.
About
that's
that.
Tough. That's, I mean, Matt
this Damon. This isn't that controversial a podcast. Let's keep it light.
I would never see Jesse Plemons in Born Identity 7.
I don't know.
Maybe unless like Bourne's identity is an ugly version of himself.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's so mean.
It's no, Jesse Plemons is an attractive man in his own way.
To someone. To Kirsten Dunst. To
Kirsten. Good job, Kirsten. You lucked out.
Yes. They're both very attractive, lucky, rich people.
Lucky, rich people. I don't think I talked about this, but we, Dexter and I, went to go see The Goonies in a theater.
Oh, yeah, you haven't talked. I mean, you talked to me about it, but tell me about it again.
Yeah. The thing with Goonies was I'd never seen it all the way through. As a 40,
which is cuckoo.
A 42-year-old man never saw Goonies all the way
through.
Seems
like your parents dropped the ball on that one. Neglect.
I played Goonies 2 on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
What? There were two Goonies Nintendo games?
No.
Oh.
No. Interestingly enough, I thought that Goonies 2, the video game, was based off of the movie Goonies 2. So I had fun playing Goonies 2, the video game. But actually, the video game is a sequel to the movie somehow.
Oh, so there's not even a Goonies 2 movie?
Correct.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
100% positive they're making a Goonies 2 with those kids as adults now.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So I never watched the movie.
That's going to be depressing. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to watch someone who has aged the same that I have and I'm like, see my chubby self on screen. Like, I'm in my 40s and I'm puffy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's cool to see Brolin as a kid and, like, you know, nudge Dexter. Like, hey, Dexter, that's Thanos. Because it's Thanos. Also Cable, if you...
Who was nudging him?
I was.
I thought you were saying Josh Brolin nudged Dexter. No, and I was so confused.
No, to see Josh Brolin and then me nudging Dexter.
It's Thanos. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay. Thanos. I'm there with Cable you. In Deadpool 2.
This explains why I didn't understand that Neptune Frost movie. His conversation is too hard for me to follow. Get it together.
So anyways, the reason I never watched it all the way through was I would always, as an adult,
people... You were like, jazzercise.
No. Like, you've never seen Goonies? I'm like, no, I haven't seen Goonies. And they'd be like, oh, we got to watch it. Let's put it on. It was usually at a party or someplace I was getting drunk. And so I'd start watching it. Like, oh, this is fun. And then fall asleep.
Yeah, that's not a good...
And then wake up at the end like, oh, there's the pirate ship. Cool. That was a great movie. And so 40th anniversary of the Goonies, they brought it back to theaters. Just for that one day, we went to go see it. And I fell asleep for like a half
you
a second.
Did?
I did. It was that fucking Paloma. The Paloma really got me.
Again, I was having issues understanding. I'm like, what theater is called the Paloma?
Ooh, that's be a cool. That's
Paloma is an alcoholic beverage that is delicious.
Yes. That does sound like a nice name for like a restaurant.
Like Palazzo.
Yeah, that sounds good. I did finish it and then I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. What I want to say though is about theater etiquette. Let's talk about theater etiquette. Theater etiquette for like new movies, that's one thing.
Here's our The More You Know section. Gotta get your soapbox ready. And you have 3 minutes, Mr. Cruz. Go.
And go. Theater etiquette for new movies, everyone knows you shouldn't be talking during a movie. People still do it, but it seems like it's far less. But this it still happens, and it's more socially acceptable to be like, hey, excuse me, I'm trying to watch this movie. And like, oh, sorry. Ugh. Unless it's like a real, real big jerk, right? Okay, you can get annoyed at it and tap people. For some reason, I find this in re-releases of movies. Like when we saw Spaceballs in the theater, when we saw Aliens in the theater, a couple other movies we've seen in the theaters like that, and Goonies. People have seen it so often, so many times in their youth and in their adult age, that they feel like, well, if I've seen it hundreds of times, then everybody must have seen it for hundreds of times. So it's okay for me to talk during the movie. So I'm sitting right next to this guy who is probably 5 years older than me. So, you know, probably just like 36 or something like that.
Fact check. Next.
No, I get that time back. And he's the movie starts and then he's talking to his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. I'll assume it's his wife. It could have been a sister.
His caregiver.
Wiping
his handler.
Changing his diaper periodically throughout the film because he's young.
He had a co-watcher with him.
they were talking through the beginning of the movie. I'm like, okay, like Dexter looks over me. He's like, oh, come on. Why are they talking? I'm like, maybe they'll stop. And they're not like whispering. They're not doing the,
my whisper where it's still a regular voice, but you can tell at least that like, person's trying to whisper.
They're not doing sotto voce.
I think he's talking to you.
No, they're just like, hey, oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, do you like that? Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Like,
awful.
And then like 10 minutes into the movie, they're overlooking, there's a shot overlooking the town. It's in Washington or Seattle or wherever it is. Yeah, Washington. And the woman's like, ooh, that's pretty. Do you think you'd ever want to move there?
I can't believe it.
And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it's gorgeous up there.
Like, I would turn like, go. You know, was it a good time to live there? Right now.
I would love
to live
there.
You should go be there.
Okay. So movie's still going. And every once in a while, I'm like, okay, they're gonna be done now, and then they're not done. And then, like, there's a scene where Cyndi Lauper is on the TV, and so it's a song that she's playing. And at this particular movie, they have trays where you can put in front of you, and you put your, you know, you order food, and they put it on. And
a Paloma tray.
He starts wrapping his fingers on the tray. To the music.
Was it what song was it? I only know like two Cyndi Lauper songs.
I don't know. It was a Cyndi Lauper song. So it probably sounded like every other Cyndi Lauper song. Not saying that she has bad music. We just don't know. Yeah. Anyway, what the hell, dude? Are you tapping to the song right now? That's even more weird. Okay.
Only one hand, too? He wasn't double hand drumming? He was one hand tapping?
Just one hand tapping.
Why was his other hand doing?
Probably stroking his ego.
Nice catch.
Hey. Okay, so now we fast forward to like the very...
You have about 45 seconds left.
Yeah, very, very end of the movie. Chelsea, what is one of the famous lines from Goonies that everyone knows?
Hey, you guys!
Now, if anybody is going to repeat a line during the movie, that would be the line that
everybody
I would...
Everybody in the theater would say it, I would imagine.
That's the line I would think people would repeat. Do you know what line he did repeat?
It's our time down here. That's the other famous. It's another famous line from it.
No.
Oh, I give up then. I don't know any other. And Baby Ruth. Those are only three lines I know.
Baby Ruth. No. None of those lines. The line he repeated was at the very, very end, right before the pirate ship shows up. The dad is about to sign the deed, and they're gonna have to leave. And then the news reporter all of a sudden is like, "Holy Mother of God!" And the guy repeated that line.
What?
And at the same time, Holy Mother of God.
That's where that phrase originated from, that scene in Goonies. Like, this is the iconic Holy Mother of God scene.
And on top of that, the girl was like, oh my God, have you been waiting all night to say that?
Don't react right now.
And then he said, she's like, you've been waiting the whole night? He's like, been waiting my whole life.
Didn't they just have the best laugh, the two of them?
Like, but
did they just laugh at their wonderful relationship they shared? Both,
oh my God,
exact same thing.
But why would he be waiting his whole life for that moment? You can say that fucking line whenever you want.
He was waiting to say it with the actor who played the police officer in Goonies,
who passed away in 1970.
Maybe that's his dad.
Oh,
plot twist. Maybe his dad was in that movie, and that's the like only movie he was ever in, and he has a scene in that movie, and that guy was waiting to go see him.
I guarantee that wasn't the case, but it would be nice. It would be nice.
Does that make you feel a little bit like I'd be okay with that if that were the case, and now I'm not as angry?
Yeah, but
cool.
For half a second, but the reason I turned on it instantly is because I know for a fact they would have talked about that. He'd be like, I've been waiting my whole life. That was my dad. And I'll be like, then I would have turned to him and be like,
who knows what they would have said. They sounded like a couple of yahoos.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so great. So then the movie ends, the lights come up, he stands up, and right in front of us there's a couple family people. A couple kids and a mom. And evidently he knows these people in front of him. And he stands up, he's like, what a great movie, am I right?
Oh my.
Like, Jesus. Okay, so Dexter and I leave, and
I can't believe you didn't even say anything like sarcastic, like, yeah, man, you know which part was my favorite part? The part where he's like, Holy Mother of God.
No,
that was my dad.
Dexter and I were just like, oh my gosh. And he's such a good kid.
Oh, he's the best.
He's an old soul.
He's too good for this world. He's a better human than you or me or anybody of you other assholes listening. You guys all suck, and my son is the best.
We've probably tainted him, and made him a misanthrope a little bit.
Snob is the short version of that
word. But he said such a good line, right? Like, him and I were talking, and he repeated back to me the things like, yeah, people have seen this movie 100 times, so of course they think that it's okay to talk. He made that observation. But then he also said, you know, I know it's a kid's movie, but that doesn't mean you have to act like a kid. And like, man,
write it down. Ooh. He's the next Jack Handy.
You should have said that to that guy. Wussy.
That reminds me that our dentist told me that you seem like a kid at heart the other day when I had my dentist appointment and he was talking about you. Oh, he loves you.
It's because I ask for a sucker every time.
Can I get the dog Donald Duck?
I told him Dexter had turned 13 this month, and it was all very like, oh, yay, good for you. Guess you can't get anything out of the toy box now. That's what he said. I was like, I thought he was kidding. Like, are you serious? You can't have anything out of the toy box? Which, by the way, I was like, do you have a toy box?
You have a toy box?
Have we seen toys from here before? So like maybe the whole thing was a big joke. But then I was like, oh, he's got to be kidding. 13's still a kid. And like, no, you crossed over. I'm like, at the very least, you're going to give him a birthday toy. No, nothing. We left there with nothing other than a next appointment. But then I was like, we've always left with nothing. Does he have a toy box? Yeah. I'm so confused.
I usually leave there being like, ooh, I want to know more about teeth whitening. That's usually how I.
He's like, I really want you to straighten your teeth. He's an Invisalign whore. Yeah. I was going to try and think of a nice word, but
you can't. Please don't tell our dentist that we talk about
him. We don't even know. You don't know his name. They don't know.
That's true.
Dr. Dentist.
Dr. Dentist, MD. Okay, so we're going to take a real quick break. We're not really taking a break, Chelsea, but I got to. The ads show up at some point in time, and then it just like stops, and then they're like, whoa, people are like, why'd you put the ad there? It just seemed
we
like
don't
it was
put them.
No, I know
we. I don't do anything. You don't put them.
I can adjust the time to where the ad's actually going to be. When I say it's going to be here, well, when I do say that, then that's
then people won't all of a sudden think that I'm trying to sell mattresses or something.
Right.
BetterHelp.
which is what Travis said. He's like, it sounded like Chelsea went directly from one topic to selling mattresses to us.
Oh, was it? Mattresses? Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I love a bed.
Well, anyway, after this, we'll talk about some other stuff.
Be right back.
And now we're back.
Oh.
It's, you know, for you, it was like 30 to 60 seconds. For us, an eternity.
I fast forward through those with a little 30-second button. Boop,
and,
boop, boop.
And you can, too, after a word from our sponsors. Okay.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
So, you know, we're talking about the Goonies, talking about our dentist.
Mm-hmm. It bounces around.
Those are all, you know, we left those kind of topics with kind of a negative slant. And I don't think we should leave with a negative slant, Chelsea. I think
I know where you're going.
We should bring the positive back to us.
A fucking men.
So our dog
is barking.
Our dog is barking, but that's okay. She'll bark whether we're there or not.
Okay.
So when we went to the ramen place, we were talking. You were watching, listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yes.
Right.
Maeve Higgins, call me. She's my favorite.
And the whole thing with Wait, Wait was they were looking at, I forget how this topic came up, but they were given headlines.
The host, Peter Sagal, was giving the three panelists, who are comedians, a kind of negative headline from the news. And then the panelists had to put their positive spin on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they each got a point if they could do it. They all got points. They're very funny.
That's right. That's right. You brought that up because I was talking about like it, the exercise of positive thinking and trying to not be negative. And it's so easy to be negative that it makes it difficult.
Oh, because
positive.
Of me being at the dispensary and saying to the guy, like, I'm just going to do boring mom stuff today. And he was like, it must be amazing to be a mom because you get to witness life. That's right. And then I felt like shit for dogging being a mom. I'm like, oh, no, it is. It is. I love being a mom. It's wonderful.
I love it.
Like, stop being negative for no reason, Chelsea.
So knowing that we were going to record tonight, we thought it would be a good idea to get some news headlines.
We did a preparation.
Three each. And then, give them to the other person and see if we can.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can do three of them. I was nervous about having to do one.
OK, at least maybe just one then. positive spin. So
I don't know which one to go with, though. Do you know which one you're going to start
with? No, I've got three of them. It's just, the most difficult thing about this is picking one that has nothing to do with Trump.
You're right. But
because there's no way to turn that into
a positive. I Googled weird news. And it took me to a lot of different crazy things. So I'll give you mine first.
Okay.
So you have to think, what are you going to do? How are you going to make this positive?
Okay.
Okay. The headline is, boy scolded for not doing homework, reports his father for drug use.
Okay. Boy scolded for not doing his homework, reports his father for drug use. Okay. Turning that into a positive. Because the boy was able to get the police, they realized that he had not been doing his homework, and they actually helped him get tutoring, which led to...
You're going way too far into this.
which actually led to a successful scholarship.
You don't have to tell the rest of the boy's future. It's just like, what is the positive from that is that...
Oh, yeah. There's so many options. It's branching paths. Getting the
branching path.
Yeah. Like a butterfly effect. Okay, so
paths.
Pathises.
I like branching paths.
Okay.
Because my take on it, a positive spin that I would have said was, that boy knows how to call the police. That's good that he's responsible and like calls the police to report drug use, which is bad.
You want me to get a simpler one? You want me to simplify that a little bit more? Okay. The police are coming and they're going to help the father learn how to cope without self-medication.
There we go. So the police are going to come so that family's going to get some help.
That's right.
That's I can say this for any of these things. The news is alerted, which means this story is going to get fixed.
Okay. Well, you can't use it again.
Oh.
All right. Here's your headline, honey.
I'm so nervous.
Michael movie. Why the Michael Jackson biopic may require reshoots. Michael movie. Why the Michael Jackson biopic may require reshoots.
Why it may require reshoots. Uh-huh. Because there's so many good dancers out there. It's hard for them to decide which one to use. There's so many talented people out there.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good.
That was the nicest way I could go with that one.
Yeah. I would say, well, that way they know which kids don't want to be seen.
Okay. Well.
Right? Well, I mean, they need their personal,
having trouble finding younger version of molested actors. Oh, God, that's not funny at all.
No, I'm laughing at something I ate. All right. Okay. Give me the next one.
You want to do another one?
Yeah. That was too quick.
Okay. Haircuts interrupted when cow forces its way into barbershop.
That cow gets a haircut.
You're right. I didn't think about that. Move out of my way. It's my turn. I didn't even think about that either. Told right.
Oh, that's good.
That cow's gonna get a haircut. You're right. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, for a second, I thought that was the way you were gonna say. No. What would yours have been?
I don't know for that one, because if a cow, I would just be like, a cow! Like, that was just like,
that is the positive.
Think how happy people would be. Like, you'd be a little terrified, but also, a cow came in. That's fun.
That's a very positive moment.
It would have
in time.
It's not like a lion stormed into while I was getting my haircut. That's different. That's scary.
The lion's getting a haircut.
Cow came in. Like, silly cow, what's he doing?
Get out of here.
He's on grass.
Get out of here, cow. You're cute.
Yeah.
Cute. All right. So those are fun. Okay. I got two more.
No, just one more. I can't.
No,
my brain.
No, you gotta do two more. You gotta do two more. You got him. All right. Pete Hegseth hints at restoring original Confederate names of U.S. military bases.
Restoring the Confederate names to the military bases, that the ones that got taken off during maybe Biden's administration or
Secretary of Defense, new Secretary of Defense hints at restoring original Confederate names of U.S. military bases.
Okay, so my positive spin on that is he has a really good memory. Good for him. He remembers whose names were there before, and he remembers that they were changed. Good job, him.
Good for you, SecDef. what I'd say is SecDef hints at restoring original Confederate names. It sounds like he wants to play like a charades type of thing because he's doing hints. So like
he hints at it.
He's fun. He's a fun guy.
He's like three words. First word's a little one. I yes. Second or third word sounds like pacist.
Robert
I
E.
am
Lee.
Racist. Yeah, you got it.
Yay,
you got it.
Yay. All right.
It's a movie.
All right, you got another one.
Okay, last one.
Last one for you.
Let me find it. Okay, here it is. Some U.S. states are not running on Dunkin' Donuts due to temporary supply shortage.
So they're looking for alternate energy sources.
I added the donuts part just because you couldn't tell. Sorry, they added donut. What?
The California, the state's not running on Dunkin'.
Right.
Right? So they found alternate energy sources to sustain the failing power grid because like there's brownouts and blackouts throughout California.
You're
right
taking
now.
It as that the country was literally using Dunkin' as its power source.
Yes.
Up until this article, which was just January 10th of this year.
Look, I don't know.
Donuts gone. That was the first thing to go in January, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what the rest of the article states. I can only go based off the headline.
I don't either, but I wasn't too surprised to find out that they were short of donuts in Nebraska, is one of the states. Oh, I'm like, aww. Yeah,
that's the donut capital of the world.
Not anymore. Now it's just a hole. Man. Okay.
All right. So speaking of donuts,
do you have a donut article?
No,
that'd be amazing.
But it is quasi related to donuts because David Lynch has a quote about donuts. So here's a headline about David Lynch.
Oh no!
No headline can sum up David Lynch. It works because
there's
says,
no donut involved.
No,
in
you
this,
can't
though.
Use the donuts.
Oh,
you can't. You gotta.
But the donuts made you think of David Lynch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what's his quote?
The quote is something along the lines of like, you know, don't focus on the whole, focus on the donut.
Oh, okay. Now read me the headline again.
All right. No headline can sum up David Lynch.
That's not a good headline for me to do a play on. That's a positive headline. We can't sum him up because he is already too amazing. That's a positive headline. That's not a negative headline.
But it says no in there.
That'd be like, no, I'm going to give you a positive headline. Find the negative in it. It says no. You did the you found the negative.
It says no. It doesn't say anything about positivity there. It says nothing can sum, right? Summing makes it a positive.
I'm not saying it has to say positive. I'm saying the headline as a whole is a positive headline.
I don't think so.
That's not the game we're playing.
If it didn't say David Lynch and it said like O.J. Simpson.
No whammy.
Would you be like, oh, no, that's a positive one.
I don't know. I think you've lost the trail here, buddy.
No, I think you lost.
Yeah, you're right. I'll take the L, guys.
But you know, in a twist of positivity, you won my heart, and
yay,
I can't.
What a prize!
But I'm the reason I made you do three is because I wanted to get to the David Lynch one to do the segue. Just everyone.
Why didn't you do it the second one?
Because I wanted to. I thought the Hegseth one would be good to talk about.
Because you wanted to segue from David Lynch to something.
Yes.
Oh. That I see.
I haven't
Ooh,
figured
you're
out.
Playing the long con on this one.
I haven't figured out what I want to transition to yet, but
donuts. Yeah. Oh no, sorry.
Yeah, focus on the donut, not the hole. David Lynch died. He passed away. You know, last week.
Last not this past Friday, the week before. So I don't know what date that was.
Yeah. And when he died, immediately I got texts from a bunch of friends like, oh no, David Lynch died. As if everyone knows that I am a fan of David Lynch. It's kind of sad because he was one of those people that was unapologetic in like what he was about, being weird and being strange.
Yeah,
and
he was authentic.
He was himself. And seeing like the mentions from like Kyle MacLachlan and Laura mm-hmm. Dern and these people who are like, you know, just
all good things to say.
MacLachlan's one was awesome. And he was like, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for David Lynch, because he plucked me out of nowhere to be in Dune. Mm-hmm. And like that.
And then he let him act again after that. That was the big gift, because that was a.
Yeah. For him being in Twin Peaks, and then I think he was in Blue Velvet. Yeah.
And then he's in the Portlandia.
Yeah. Which isn't David Lynch necessarily. But anyway, so, yeah, I like David Lynch. And so like he was all about transcendental meditation, which like the Beatles were into. It's a whole like 70s movement. And that just kind of led me to like, and we talked about this at dinner time, but like we did meditation one time in like 2011 or something like that.
We did it together at that time. I have since done it other times.
Right. Guided meditation. Like we actually went somewhere and did meditation. And at that point in time, I'll say at that point in time, I was like, what a crock shit. And it's like, They're guiding us,
but we had just moved to Colorado, and Brennan was like, "Oh, this is Chelsea might make a friend there," and that was why you were so gung ho for it. Like, "Yeah, I'll go with you, go," because it was like, "I'm gonna make a friend." Oh no, we're in a new place, and Dexter hadn't been born, and so that was why we went.
Yeah. And then there were people crying and screaming. As
yeah,
part of
they
their
had their pillows. They were screaming and crying into their pillows.
Yeah. Which is silly to me, right? And
it was a little much for me.
Yeah. Again, like more power to them. Like not trying to judge them in that way, but for me, it's uncomfortable and like it wasn't for me. And then so like trying to do meditation, and I was just like, I'm falling asleep is what's happening to me. I wasn't there.
Would that I could, sir.
I couldn't connect to it. But you could. Were you able to like, did you feel good about that one? Like that guided kind of meditation? Cause they're like, oh, there's a candle in the distance.
Yeah. I like those. But sometimes my brain, like if it's like picture a room, I spend the next, however many seconds start, like, is it what kind of, oh no, what kind of room? And they're like, and then I'm like, okay, I'm in a picture room and it's got red wallpaper, and I'll be like, and the walls are black. I'm like, shit, I have to check the wall. And so there are certain guided meditations that I have to steer clear of. I need some things that are just gonna be like, now relax your ankles, because I can't picture things. It's too stressful.
Yeah. I'm not religious. I'm not spiritual. I'm none of those things. And so like hugely skeptical about meditation. If it works. But like seeing some of these interviews,
it depends what you wanted to do.
Well, sure. Like inner peace and torment and, creativity and just like understanding yourself more, like what consciousness is and all that type of stuff. Seeing all this stuff with David Lynch Foundation, and he was like with the Maharishi, the same thing as the Beatles. I'm like,
something to it, even if it's the teeniest, tiniest, like grain of sand sized something.
It still seems like a crock and
a cult,
a cult crock. I'm like torn between maybe there's truth to it. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't opened myself up to it in that way. But then at the same time, being conflicted with, Yeah, but you don't believe that and you're happy
but
right
just
now.
Just because you haven't ever believed it doesn't mean you couldn't start believing it now. I think right. maybe it's a resistance to change that you felt this such a way for such a long time that you don't feel right feeling a different way about it, even if there's a part of you that wonders if you do. Like, so just yeah. even the fact that you're wondering if maybe you would be kind of tells me that there's something in your body that wants you to be open to it, but you're just kind of used to shutting it down.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines too, again, David Lynch, he was authentic about his love of meditation. He reports that like he never missed meditation in 40 years or whatever. Missed a day of meditation in 40 years.
Wow. Must have been doing it while they were filming.
Yeah, reports they would stop during filming and he would like meditate for like 20 minutes or so, right? There's a part of me that doesn't want to, like, it's afraid for it to work, for something to happen, and then me to then be like, no, everybody, no, trust me, it works, right? And like, because you can't see it, like, mm-hmm. if it does work,
yeah,
you no one's gonna be able to see it, and then they're gonna be like, Brandon's fucking crazy.
But also,
all of a sudden.
Just because it works for you doesn't mean it works for someone else. Sure. Just because it works for David Lynch, you could try it and then be like, this is a crock, but it could still not be a crock. It's just not fit for you.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm afraid that it won't work.
I don't want to liken these and like offend anybody or anything, but it just made me think of how people who are more suggestible are more able to be hypnotized. You know, if you believe that hypnotism is real or not, but that in order to be hypnotized, it helps if you are open to suggestion. So I don't know if that has something to do with it too. Yeah. I mean, some people are just more inclined to find that space.
Yeah.
It triggers something in their brain that makes them go to their happy place.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I think where
it
my
gives them the dopamine. It doesn't give everybody the dopamine. I don't know.
I think where my fear about this comes in is from the Kevin Bacon classic Stir Up Echoes, because he was very open.
I thought you were going to say Footloose for a second, and I'm like, how does this?
Okay. No, because he was very open to hypnosis. Like he let himself be open to hypnosis, and then he was able to see ghosts. And then he found out that a little girl was murdered in his house.
There were bones under there, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I don't want to do meditation because I don't want to find out that there's the bones of a little girl under
his
house.
I have never heard a more negative spin on a positive idea than that. I don't do meditation because I don't want to all of a sudden realize there's a ghost in my house and there's bones under it. That I've never heard that reason before.
No. It's a positive because I want the ghost to rest in peace. And if I disturb the bones, maybe that puts that ghost.
What kind of narcissist are you that you think the ghosts even want to talk to you?
Well, if I do meditation,
they're
and
like,
then,
can you turn your drums down, please?
Yeah, like maybe meditation, like it's the opposite, right? Like it's like inner peace, it's inner calm, mm-hmm. it's quiet. But in the ghost, like it like inverses into the ghost world and it's like playing like a boombox really loud with the bass just and they're like, hey, can you turn your meditation down, you asshole? We're trying to rest in peace. Right.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like tapping on a fish tank to them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we're establishing a whole lore here, but yeah, no, very,
I like it. Very... I wish somebody were recording this.
By the way.
Play. Push record. Push
play. By the way, Stir Up Echoes, Richard Matheson story. Okay. Chelsea, anything else you want to leave us off with?
Let's see. We're almost out of January, guys. So hang in there. We're going to make it through month one of 2025. And love and peace to everyone. Whatever you are doing, keep it up. And I'm grateful for all of you.
I am as well. Not to steal her thunder, because I can't.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's not some kind of fucking weather god. Yeah,
not just thunder doesn't grow on my trees.
Oh man, that sounds so hot. Well, on behalf of Travis Menard,
we love you, Travis.
Love you. We love you and your family. I am Brandon, and you are
not Brandon.
Chelsea.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye.
We are going. You are not.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.